We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now you know it's baseball season because we go down to beautiful Tampa, Florida, and we welcome in for the first time officially at spring training, Sweeney Murdy with the Yankees.
Sweeney, how are you?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Wonderful.
Well, we have to ask you a very important question. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, we've been guessing.
Right. There's a lot of money riding on this.
A lot of money.
People have thrown a lot of money in here to they want to find out. Should you ask them or you want me to ask them?
You want to ask them?
Yeah, I'll ask
them. All right. Get
we
ready,
want
Sweeney.
Your thoughts.
Okay, should I be scared?
Yes. No, not at all.
Oh, you should
we
be.
We want
no,
your
you
thoughts
be.
On this ridiculous playoff format that the great Commissioner Manfred has proposed. Your thoughts.
I'm not a big fan.
Yes!
Ah,
all right!
There you go.
All right!
I told you he would. Did I say he wouldn't like it
no,
or what?
No, you nailed it, man.
I said there's no way Sweeney likes
thank
this.
God. Oh.
John may like it. Susan may like it. Costas may like it. Dog may like it. Not Sweeney.
Not Sweeney.
Well, I was looking at the standings even just for the last couple of years to figure out how this would have played out. And I didn't have to go back far. In 2017, only five teams in the American League finished over 500. So you're talking about giving two wild card spots to teams that didn't finish 500. And if you just even go back over the course of the last three full seasons, you'd find that actually a lot. You're not getting – it's not like you're getting 12 teams finishing over 500 and
right.
seven of them make the playoffs. And this extra excitement, you know, to me, the teams that usually finish around 500 – are teams that, for lack of a better phrase, usually have a hard time getting out of their own way. You know, you think they should be better, but for whatever reason, they keep tripping over themselves and only finish 500. Rarely is it a team that you say, wow, you know, this should be a playoff team. Or wow, can't wait to see what happens if they get into the playoffs.
Right.
So the fact that you're creating the drama around teams that are stumbling through the finish line, that to me, I don't love. And when you look, even just over the last few years, there are only six, seven teams finishing over 500. You're only eliminating the under 500 teams.
Right.
So you're risk rewarding the team. I've heard people say this will incentivize teams to spend more. You don't need to spend more. You can win 82 games and make the playoffs.
Sweeney. Exactly. Oh, God, I feel
so bad. And the other side of this is, like, I wonder, there are a lot of teams that just missed the playoffs. They fire their general manager. They fire their manager. Are these guys going to get to keep their jobs because they inched into the last wild card spot? I don't think we're winning this battle. I would think that TV ruling what it does, and TV wants playoff drama. The league wants playoff drama for their TV partners. So I think you're going here, whether we like it or not. And when we get those playoff games, I'm hoping there is the type of drama that everybody wants. But from the outset, I can't say that I like it.
Thank you,
how about the absurdity, though,
thank
of picking?
God.
And you say this is going to happen. And look, I mean, you're probably right. It will. The absurdity of picking who you want to play in a playoff swing? Oh, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. I've heard people try and tell me why this matters, but I still don't seem to think why that's such a big part of the equation. I mean, that's kind of who we have fun with that all year, right? Like, who do you think they'd rather play?
Right,
this team or
right,
that team?
Right, right.
And I guess it's fun for us. In the end, I almost always tell you I don't think it matters because you, I remember years when you wish you had played a certain team and that team beat you. So I don't really get caught up in that personally myself. I don't know if that's a big draw or advantage or if that's going to make the final version of this. Like I said, in the end, I don't think it matters what we think. It's probably going to go through 14 playoff teams. out of 30 seems like a lot to me for baseball.
For a 162 game season, that's for sure.
Yeah, and a majority of the time you're going to see, you know, last year what the Mets won 86 games, they would have gotten in. But I think over the last couple of years, if you look, you're going to see teams that are in that 82 win range.
And I got to tell you, Sween, because I've heard some Met fans say this, I don't want it that way.
Yeah,
you know, I want the Mets to win a division to make the playoffs, or win 90 games and get a legitimate wild card spot.
Yeah, you say that, but if they win 2 out of 3 in the first round, you're not going to care.
I'm not. Here's the thing, Sween. In the moment, of course, you go with the situation. Just like if the Nets win 37 games and somehow Durant comes back and they win a championship, I'm not going to throw it back. Of course not. But I'm just saying, independently, when I view the sport, I ideally don't want that. You know what I mean? And to show you, this will show you how much I despise this idea. I'll take the DH in the National League if it means not having this stuff.
Yes, that's not even debatable.
With a smile on my face, I'd say, okay.
It's not even debatable.
I could see a year when you've got a team that maybe has some injuries, and especially to, let's say, their best starting pitcher is out most of the year, and they only win 82 games, and he comes back and helps, you know, all of a sudden, okay, that helps you win a 2 out of 3, and maybe that helps you win another 3 out of 5 after that. I could see that happening where one of these lower seed teams gets full. We've already seen it in the current format. But this is, you know, to go to the NBA, like, I don't get, and I don't follow it all that closely, but I know not to get all that excited about teams fighting for the last 2 playoff spots in the NBA because they're not going to win.
Yeah.
So,
but you know what,
I don't feel the excitement is there. Sorry, go ahead.
No, because here's the thing. You're right, and not that you're wrong, but you're right, and here's where I differ, though. You're right in that, am I getting excited about the Memphis Grizzlies and the Portland Trailblazers fighting for the 8th spot? No, but I am getting excited about my team because I want to be in the playoffs. And I think most Knicks fans, if they were in that race, would feel the exact same way. So I think from a local standpoint, even though you know you're not winning anything, you want that shot.
Yeah.
You want that crack at it, as much of a long shot as it is.
Yeah, but, you know, and listen, the Nets are probably a different example because of what you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean more in general.
The possibility of Durant. But, I mean, listen, the NBA has proven for decades, if you don't have one of the best players on the planet, you're not winning, no matter how many teams you put in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
We're talking to Sweeney with the Yankees. The Aaron Boone press conference, I watched a big chunk of it, was airing on Yes Network. I guess I'd say the biggest thing you took away from Aaron's first meeting with the media of this spring?
Well, that clearly the what happened with the Astros is just hanging over this team. And there are a lot of people, you know, Boone's relationship with this is interesting because a lot of this is about the 2017 team, which he wasn't here for, but there's also last year's team, and there's a lot of anger from the players. I mean, I think you've seen it on social media, and I think you've even been able to read between the lines here of what they say publicly when they talk about moving on. I mean, they're gritting their teeth kind of when they say it, you know, and Boone's stuck in this whole, as the guy who's leading the team, he's got to be the guy with the blinders on and says, it's about now. It's about 2020. And it's about focusing. And he still has to deal with trying to get his players past that. And not only that, you know, I asked him a question about, you know, where he stands on the guys who he's heaped praise on in the past, A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, Carlos Beltran. And, yeah, he's not really sure where to go. He's conflicted in how to feel about these guys who he felt a great deal of respect and admiration for. And now, it at the very least, those guys helped cost him a chance to move on, if not cost him a World Series championship. We don't know. But I think there's conflict with him in trying to get past this because he's the one who has to set these guys on the path forward when a lot of these guys are still carrying around some anger.
Mm. Where does it end, though, Sweeney? I've been asking this to Evan. I mean, I guess, look, more that could come out, but what happens from here? You know what I mean? As far as with the Astros, I mean, where does it go? You know what I mean?
Well, with the Astros or with the game itself?
I guess it's a combination of both, really.
Yeah. I don't know what everybody... I don't know what would satisfy everybody as far as the outcome with the Astros. The players are devising some sort of apology. We know it's not you know, from the heart, because it's going to be something that's been orchestrated.
Sure.
I understand the various reasons why the stripping of titles or punishing players becomes very muddy. But at the very least, you've told the whole world, okay, maybe what you saw wasn't real, and you can decide for yourself. What it comes down to is it's cutting it off now, because you're putting managers and general managers on notice, which is what that first letter in September 2017 was supposed to do, because the letter said you're going to be held responsible. And I think it's, you know, we can probably assume that a lot of teams have tried variations of this once they got access to video replay and the replay room and things like that, but it was never expressly forbidden with any sort of punishment attached to it until that letter was sent in 2017. The reason the Astros got hit hard is because they kept doing it after that letter went out. The reason the Red Sox are under investigation is because they kept doing it after that. So I think all you're establishing now is that managers and general managers know that they have to take a more active role in what's happening here with their players and not let the inmates run the asylum and make sure that everybody is doing things on the up and up. And if there's any question about it, the managers, general managers are going to have to move forward on it, because as we found out in Houston and in Boston, their butts are the ones that are on the line.
Yeah, we've seen that. We're talking to Sweeney about baseball and the Yankees, Yankee spring training, pitchers and catchers reporting. Miguel Andujar's role this season. We saw him obviously at third base 2 years ago. Should have won Rookie of the Year, in my humble opinion. Last year was kind of a lost year for him. Where are we in the evolution of Miguel Andujar going into 2020?
Yeah, he's going to come here with the idea that he's going to work some at first base and in the outfield as well. But, you know, at this time last year, do any of us even know Gio Urshela was in Yankees camp? I mean, he was a guy who was going to go spend the year at AAA or take his opt-out clause at some point. He was here as insurance in case of injury. Well, that ended up being, you know, policy was cashed in very early with the Andujar injury. I don't know what other things are going to happen in order to affect Andujar's spot on this roster and how much Yankees are going to need that versatility. But I will tell you this, as a guy who has only 1 year in the big leagues and then missed an entire season with injury, as opposed to a guy who played 4, 5, or 6 years and missed an entire season with injury, I'm not entirely convinced that you can just plug him right into this roster in a lineup spot without seeing something in spring training first. And by that I mean it's pretty simple. If he hits this spring and hits well, I think the Yankees will figure out a way to get him on the opening day roster and try to find places for him in the lineup, and some of that will be determined by whatever possible injuries occur in other places. But if he doesn't hit well this spring, I don't think the Yankees need to force him onto this roster, because he doesn't have that long track record. And it's not the worst thing in the world for missing an entire season to let him get a few more at-bats to knock the rust off a little bit at AAA until he can be a more contributing piece to your big league roster.
All right, how about Paxton? What's the timetable right now? I mean, will we see him in the middle of July, Sweeney, something like that?
Well, right now you're thinking May and June is what they're talking. I mean, I think there's at least an outside chance if he progresses quickly that you could see him sometime in late May. Early June is what they're putting on the back end of that. And it really just depends on whether or not there's setbacks. And I think, you know, people get frustrated because we heard this from guys before, but those guys suffered setbacks. So the initial, and I think the Yankees have pretty much played into that. They wouldn't give you a projection of 3 to 4 months from early February, meaning early June.
Right.
They wouldn't give you a projection on the early side after everything they went through last year. So I from the people I've talked to I haven't seen Paxton yet. From the people I've talked to that know Paxton and talked to him since his procedure, you know, they feel that there's at least a chance he can come back on the early side of it, meaning in late May. But it really just all depends on how well he goes through this and whether or not there are any setbacks in the process.
We shall see. Sweeney, good talking to you. First of many as we head
Indeed.
Towards opening day. Thank you, man.
See you, Sweeney.
Thanks, guys.
Sweeney on the Yankees.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.